It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Lost Years, a retrospective fan cast. I'm Tay.
I'm Sid.
And this is season 4, episode 21.
Is this the penultimate?
This is the penultimate.
Hot damn.
Here we are. End of the season. We've done it. We're here. Wow.
It's so good to be here.
It's so good to be here. It is honestly really wild and I'm having a lot of feelings about it. But on a very special note, this episode, I'm just warning everybody in advance, it's going to be long. We have a lot to talk about. And in advance of that, we're not going to do what we're nostalgic for today.
What?
What? We're just going to jump into the episode. It's like a classic episode, guys. We're just going to talk about it. Except for it will be long. It won't be short.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to do it. Hey, do I get into it?
No.
Okay, I'll go.
No, I do. Now, season 4, episode 21 is titled Cult Fiction. The episode aired on April 25th, 1997. It was directed by Jeff McCracken and was written by Jeff Mennell. And the synopsis is, Sean joins a cult. Corey and the others try to snap him out of it, but it's not until a major life-death situation that Sean can finally see clearly.
Wow. That's not terrible. That's not a terrible synopsis.
Just love how immediately it's, Sean joins a cult. Which, you know, someone had to if the title...
It is called cult fiction, so, you know, it's right there. Okay, first scene, we are in Turner's class. Turner is passing out papers, tests, unclear, to the trio, and he says, Lawrence, good. Matthews, not bad. Hunter, bad. Sean looks at his paper as the bell rings and says, Turner, bell, and gets up to leave until Turner stops him. Hold on, you know, you're a junior in high school now. You have no goals as far as I can see. Have you even thought about college? Sean's like, I'm going to college. And Turner asks, oh yeah, where? And he says, Hawaii. I feel like I have a better shot outside the country. Turner says, you know, the people who care about you in this life, you can count on one hand. So don't blow me off, okay? Sean says, John, I got people who care about me. Corey jumps in here with Sean. I think Turner's right. I mean, we got one more year of high school and the humidity in Hawaii is going to make my hair go, woo! And he like throws his arms up. Topanga says, well, I want to go to Penn State. And Corey puts an arm around her and says, and I want to go where she goes. Anyone surprised by that? Turner jumps back into Sean and says, TikTok, time is moving and you are running out of time to figure out your life. Sean says, hey, John, you're not my guardian anymore. I'm back with my parents. I'll be fine. Turner says, yeah, Sean, but I'm one of the handful of people who care about you, you know? Now, your parents are busy trying to work out their marriage. So are they. He gestures to Corey and Topanga, who say, study hall? And he replies, make out? And she says, Corey? And he says, Topanga? And they leave grinning and holding hands. Turner continues, and you know, you had 4 years of security in these halls, but they throw you out next year, Sean. What are you going to do then, huh? Who are you going to be? He leaves the room, and it's here we see a small brunette girl has been eavesdropping. She comes in, and Sean greets her as Sherry, and she says, I couldn't help but overhear Turner do that number on you. Sean's like, you think he was doing a number on me? And she says, totally. I mean, all that stuff about only a handful of people care about you? I must have 100 people who care about me and care about me enough not to judge me like that in front of everybody. Sean says, yeah, that was kind of embarrassing, huh? She asks if he wants to grab coffee. I'm buying and I promise not to judge you at all. He accepts. I like girls with no judgment. And that is the end of the scene.
I immediately did not like this girl's vibe.
It's so interesting because she, besides being like sort of antagonistic about this moment with him and Turner, she comes in seeming pretty normal. And then the rest of the episode... she acts super not normal and it's
I will say it, the reason why I immediately didn't like her vibe was just because knowing Turner and Sean's relationship and just how he does care so deeply about him, and this is, you know, it's a big deal with not knowing what's gonna happen after school, and like him just making a point of like, hey, there are people that care about you, and like, I'm telling you that I care about you.
Yeah.
But just for her to hear that, even though it's like being a little bit harsh, because again, people that care about you can still be a little bit harsh, like, if they're trying to help. And it's just like, he wasn't being good. I was
he
like,
he was being judgmental.
I'm like, Sherry, I've never seen you before in this entire series. Who are you to judge this situation?
You don't know anything about anything. Get out of here.
Yeah, and I mean, this shockingly comes up again, but the fact that she's like, I promise not to judge you, but like she's judging Turner for that entire situation, a little double standard.
It's, yeah, the whole aspect of judgment is going to be a big theme throughout this episode.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Oh, it's so... Okay, next scene. We are at the center. Sean and Cherry walk into this place. A group of kids in unison say her name and one girl hugs her. Then they all say Sean's name in unison and one by one proceed to hug him, which he is confused by but allows. He and Cherry start to walk around and he says, "Everyone knows my name. That's either really cool or really creepy." She says, "You have a sense of humor. I like that." Now she sounds like a robot the whole rest of the episode. It doesn't make any sense. They could have made her more normal and it honestly would have been scarier.
Yeah.
But like to make her just almost like cartoony after they get to the center is so weird to me. Anyway, she says, "You have a sense of humor. I like that." And he goes, "And yet you're not laughing." She replies, "Laughter is a mask which denies the reality of a situation and reveals nervousness." He laughs nervously and says, "That's funny. So what's up with the music? DJ, live band coming? What?" She says, "This isn't really that kind of club, Sean." He's like, "No music? So what kind of club is it then?" She grabs his hand and says, "It's more of a hangout where me and my friends get together and talk about stuff." He asks, "They're all your friends?" And she confirms, "And they can be yours too if you want." He says, "Sure, I could always use more friends. Don't know if I'm really comfortable with all the hugging, though." She goes, "Mr. Max says that a hug is a burst of pure love." He's like, "Then I'm bursting with pure love right now," and hugs her, which is gross. "So who's this Mr. Max you're always talking about?" She says, "He runs the center, and he's the most remarkable human being I've ever met. He changed my life, Sean." She says this as an adult man in a suit walks in behind them and starts hugging and greeting people. He then walks up to them and greets Cherry, asking if she's centered. She hugs him and says, "I'm centered, Mr. Mac." He turns to Sean and says, "And how about you, Sean? Are you centered?" He says, "Nope, I'm totally off center." Mac says, "Well, we'll have to see what we can do about that." Sean replies, "Good luck to you. So you're Mr. Mac." Mac turns around coolly. "Guilty as charged." He opens a can of soda and hands it to Sean. And Sean says, "It's a nice place you got here. Seems a little touchy-feely at first, but it's growing on me." Mac says, "Well, it just goes to show, Sean. You can't always go with your first instinct, Sean. You have to give people a chance, Sean." Sean replies, "You really like my name, don't you, Mr. Mac? Mr. Mac." Mac replies, "Well, there's plenty of room in case you'd like to move in." Sean's like, "Move in? What are you, nuts?" Cherry says, "This is where I live, Sean. We all live here." Sean looks around and says, "Oh, my bad. It's a cult." There's a pause, and then Mac starts to laugh, and then everyone else starts to laugh when they see him laugh. He starts walking the room and says, "We're just a place for people who need love in their lives." Sean says, "I really have plenty of love. Thanks anyway." Mac says, "Well, you're judging us, aren't you?" Sean's like, "What?" Mac continues, "The way your teachers, your family, and everyone else in your life judges you." Sean says, "Yeah, I don't like that very much." Mac asks, "Because?" Sean says, "Because they don't really know me." And Mac says, "Well, why don't you get to know us before you judge us? If you do that for us, then we'll do that for you." Sean says, "That seems fair." And that is the end of the scene.
Oh, Sean.
Oh.
I'm just going to say that whenever they went down to the center, this looked so close to what my high school youth group room looked like.
Really?
And it's kind of frightening.
I was going to say it's Chubbies. I mean, it's just reworked Chubbies once again.
Yeah, but like all of the leather couches,
yeah.
The gaming systems, like all of the pops, like there was just some vibe to it that I was like, "Oh my God, is this what this..." I had a moment. It was fun.
Oy.
But yeah, just immediately no. It just, again, the vibe seemed really off. And then they spoke.
Yeah.
And that was just extremely creepy. Yeah, I don't know. The way that it was so robotic when she was saying, like, "Laughter is a mask which denies the reality of a situation." And I was like, I didn't even know any of those words also in high school. So it's like, it's really funny for people to, one, just say these very complex sentences, but that's like a deep thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Mr. Mac is creepy.
It's so, he's such a fascinating, in like a terrifying way, he's a super fascinating character because he is the only adult in this space.
Yes. So here's the thing. They all moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Yeah. Where are their parents?
Also, that is the creepiest thing ever, that he's just this older man with a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And then the way that they did this character, I do like, even though it's like extremely creepy, is because this is exactly the cult type of leader that is the most calming and just reassures you with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen too many documentaries, you guys. This is exactly the MO of who's a cult leader.
Yeah. I think the most interesting thing about this for me specifically is like he is so well, let's say, trained these kids to like find others like them.
Yep.
That Sherry saw this one moment of maybe conflict, maybe doubt for Sean, and was like, oh, this is perfect. He's going to love the center. And like, he will very easily be open to giving it a shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a way that is just like so scary. Like, these are children.
It's down to like every single sentence that he was saying to Sean, calling him by name every single time to kind of show, I hear you.
I'm personable with you. I'm on your level. And
he's totally not. He's never met Sean before. This is like the first couple of moments that they've ever interacted. And the way that he can also spin it and just like, you're judging us.
Yes. The presumption too. Like, the way that he's like, the way that everybody in your life judges you. And it's like, okay, because they don't really know you. But it's like, you're just meeting him. You don't know him either.
Right.
What are we doing?
It's kind of, yeah, it's just like a blanket statement that like no judgment can ever exist in life.
Yes.
Or like,
no just, negative judgment.
Yeah.
Judgment you don't agree with is bad.
Yeah. And what sucks about it is because we know, again, that Turner and Sean have this relationship where he does care about his well-being. And so like, for that to kind of be the catalyst of, I'm going to get this kid into a cult when he doesn't even know, or any of them like know that entire situation.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind. But the fact that I know that Sean at the end, you know, initially agreed to like hear them out.
Yeah.
But whenever he was just like, oh, my bad, it's a cult. I was like, Sean's aware.
He clocks it immediately, which is why it's so interesting that he gets sucked into it anyway.
Because this man pounced on his insecurities and it's so annoying.
It's really, it's so scary and brilliant. And like,
it's one of those moments where you're like, shoot, this can happen to like anybody.
Yes.
Which is also terrifying.
I saw, I think somebody said this to me, or I saw it, but somebody, I saw a TikTok that was like, what would it take for you? What would it actually take for you to join a cult? And somebody stitched it. It was like deviled eggs. And I was like, that's a vibe, honestly, because same. I love deviled eggs.
Low-key, this is why it was funny with my high school youth group, because they always had like the pizza nights and just everything to kind of get people, bring people in and do all this stuff. And it's just, it's really funny to hear this because I'm like, oh my God.
That's all it would take.
What did I do?
Yeah, man.
We're playing dodgeball tonight for the Lord.
Okay, so next scene, we are at Chubby's. Sean is there with Sherry and two other girls studying. Corey walks in and greets him. He gets up, gives him a hug, which Corey freaks out about. Sean's like, I'm just saying hello. And Corey's like, well, hello. And let's never say hello like that again. He sees the girls at the table and says, hey, three girls. They wave and Sean asks, are you centered, Corey? And Corey's like, obviously not like you. Sean says, oh, they're from the center. They're helping me study. I like the center core. Corey clocks this and pulls Sean aside to talk. He's like, what exactly is the center of which you speak? Sean immediately says, it's not a cult. And Corey's like, uh-huh. And Sean says, don't judge us, Corey. And Corey's like, Sean, you're talking crazy. I mean, you were there for what, an hour? Sean parrots, the length of a journey has nothing to do with its ultimate value, Sean. Corey says, that's nice. Sean, listen. Throughout our whole friendship, we've talked about everything, right? We talked about girls, movies, music, but we never talked about what you believe in. Sean says, I believe that I finally found a place where people let me be who I am without trying to change me or need to know what my goals are in life. I mean, why do I need that? Corey says, Sean, what do you believe in? Sean fires back, what do you believe in, Corey? Do you believe in a mother and a father and a comfortable house on a comfortable street because that's what you have? Well, I don't have that. So I found something with these people. Corey's like, yeah, but who are these people? The girls then gather around Sean as he says, stop trying to take away what I have. I don't do that to you. Sherry then jumps in. We really have to be going. And Sean puts an arm around her and they start to go. Corey says as they're leaving, you know, I have a lot of questions about this place. And Sean says, and you should check it out sometime, bud. They leave, and that is the end of the scene.
Oh, an hour?
An hour.
It took him an hour to be this way?
I mean, realistically, right? It's partially like we're in a 20-minute TV show. We got to turn this one around quickly. But it is so scary to think about how easily you can get sucked in to something like this. Like when you just are looking for something, you know?
Yeah, and the thing that got me at the beginning, Sean immediately jumps up and gives him a hug. The reaction that Corey had was not
terrible,
my fave, because I was like, honestly, rude.
It's
your friend is hugging you.
And it's like weirdly homophobic. Like, we can't hug, we're boys. Like, relax, okay?
Like, out of every other time that they've just had interactions in a way where, like, it could be perceived that way, they've never been like, whoa, 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 no, don't do that.
No, but somehow, touching. It's like
in
so
this
weird.
One, because it's cult related, they're like, we can't accept this. Yeah, I mean, he's immediately hooked, which is very scary.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, if you have to say it's not a cult, it's definitely a cult.
Yeah, right? It's, oh.
Because he had this little bit of doubt about what was going on, and again, had a little bit of care and concern for his friend, and Sean immediately flipped it and was like, you're judging me. Like,
don't judge us, Corey. So quickly.
You've known
so
Corey quickly. Your entire life.
Yeah. He's just asking you questions.
That's what's crazy. He's getting so defensive for no reason.
Immediately so defensive about it. And to I think too specifically, he's like, why are you trying to take away what I have? I don't take away what you have. And I think for Sean, so much I think of his life has been defined by the things he does not have, the ways that he is different from his friends, the you know, the things that he doesn't have in comparison to them. And so for him, this is a thing that he has that, quote unquote, has that other people don't have in the same way.
Yeah.
So for him, it's like, that's part of the reason why he's like, I am holding on to this thing tightly because it is mine. And it's a thing that, like, I made and I chose. So much of Sean's life is like things that are happening to him that he doesn't have any control over, that are oftentimes like terrible and negative. And like, this is like, he's like, I made this choice. This is my thing. I'm not trying to take your things away from you. Why are you trying to take my things away from me? And like, to just clock that in a person so quickly is like so scary to think about. Like, the people who have that ability of just like deep manipulative, oh, it makes my skin just like itch. It's terrible. Well, it freaks me out.
It's sad because you have how Turner was saying at the beginning, you have Sean's parents who are, again, supposedly non-existent again, even though, like, they were working on the whole family aspect at the beginning of the season. And then you have Corey and Topanga who are clearly just off together. So Sean's just kind of, you know, left to himself and trying to figure everything out. And, I mean, he's been, you know, with Corey and Topanga the entire time, but it's different when you also just feel alone and you need something. It's scary.
It's so scary. I just keep thinking about how scary it is.
My favorite line, I think, out of this entire scene, I laughed at again whenever you said it. I laughed at both times. It's just the way that Ben says, that's nice.
That's nice.
Because he's so uncomfy and is trying to figure out how to talk to Sean.
It's so weird. Yeah. I really like, too, that Corey, in this, he's like, okay, so this is something. Like, he can tell that this is something, right? And so he's just like, we've talked about a lot of things. What do you believe in? And so then he asks again, because Sean's not answering the question. And he's like, what do you believe in? And he can't answer the question. And so he just immediately flips to defensiveness. And I'm just like, oh, my sweet boy, my sweet Sean. We didn't say it, but if you couldn't tell, this is a Sean episode.
This is all about Sean. It's fun.
Okay, next scene. We are in Turner's classroom. It seems like we're between classes or something, and Turner has pulled Sean to talk. He asks, what is the center you're hanging out at? And Sean says, no. And Turner's like, why not? Sean says, because I'm not going to talk to you about something you're never going to understand. Turner says, oh, you can understand it, but somehow it's beyond me. And Sean rebuts, you're as judgmental as everybody else in my life. Turner's like, first of all, you judged me. Remember, you said I couldn't understand it. Sean says, I'm centered. You're not. End of story. Turner says, boy, this sounds like a real enlightened, open-minded group. Sean says, judging. And Turner relents, okay, why do you feel you need to be a part of this place, Sean? Sean says, okay, all my life, I have felt like there is some part of me missing. And I felt like everybody could tell, you know, like there was some hole in me and everybody could see through it. Like I wasn't finished or something. Turner stands and says, I never saw that, Sean. I mean, if you would have told me, I could have done something about it. Sean's like, let's not dwell on what people did or didn't do for me. And Turner's like, yes, let's dwell on that, Sean. That's what makes you a person, how you relate to the people who really care about you. Sean says, the center is filled with people who care about me, who make me feel like a person. He goes to give Turner a hug, but Turner stops him. The center is filled with lost souls who have no belief system, who are targets for some guy to bring over to his way of thinking. He puts both hands on Sean's shoulders and finishes. The Sean Hunter that I know is one of the most unique individuals I've ever met. And if you let this place take away who you really are, Sean, then you've made the worst judgment you can make. You made the judgment. Sean just quietly replies, I don't know who I am, John. And he pushes past Turner and leaves the room. And that is the end of the scene.
Okay, this entire episode is just filled with moments and lines that hit me in a different way. No, this is it.
This is the whole story, you guys. There's not a B story.
This is a story.
I love when they do this. We've talked about this the handful of times that they've done it. It's my favorite thing because I think it just shows like really the strength of what they can do when they have the full time to like write a full story versus like jumping around. I It's so good.
Yeah, and it's like they can involve all of the characters still without it being, you know, totally separate things that are happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Yeah, I think right at the beginning of the scene, the fact that Turner just asked him about it very plainly, not even just like accusing him of doing something wrong, is just
like, what is it?
Yeah. And Sean immediately gets that defensive side up is so strange. And just the fact that also all of these adults are going to be the ones that are asking the questions too of like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And it's like acting as if they don't have the right mind to comprehend it is so fascinating as well. Like the fact that he's just like, you're judging me. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't understand. Yeah. And he's like, I'm just asking what is going on.
And two, their relationship has always been more like friendly, brotherly than anything else. So for Sean to immediately like, and this is 100% because of the way that Sherry like came in and was like, wow, he did that number on you. Like, that's crazy. He's so judgmental. Like, putting those things in his head immediately, right? And so then he joins the center. He's like, Turner's trying to talk to him about it. And he already has the thought of like, John doesn't understand me. It's not in, he's not in the place to even hear anything from him about it.
Yeah.
And it's just so fascinating considering like the historical nature of their relationship up until this point. Like, we already know who they are together, especially like obviously we had all of season three. And so it's just, it makes me so sad that Sean is immediately like turned, like heel turned a little bit on Turner because of this thing. Not really. Like, we can see the parts of it that are there, right? But like in this instance, he's like, you're judging me. You're judging me.
Yeah. And I mean, I love that Turner is kind of being this person where he's like, yeah, it sounds real enlightened open group. Like, he, I know there is that little bit of judgment, but it's like, yeah, these people are telling you that just any type of criticism or like conversation is just inherently wrong.
Yeah.
And that's not true. So they are in fact judging others, which again, you clock kind of immediately whenever you hear these people talk.
Yeah.
But whenever he asks him like, okay, just like opening up, like, why do you feel like this is what you need? Mm-hmm. It's like he's finally found people and finally that don't want to like fix him in a way.
Even though they are.
They are, but they're doing it in such a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's just seeing them as, you know, they're here for me. And like, they, like, no questions asked type of thing. It's like they're just going to like me for me and not trying to help me in any type of way. Mm-hmm. But it's just wrong. And I like that Turner keeps pushing on it where he's just like, Sean is trying to act like everything's okay after like going to give him a hug. And he's like, no, we have to, we're going to dwell on whatever this is because this is not good and it's not good for you. And it's again, it's like it's easy to see it from an outside perspective, not from Sean. Him saying that he's one of the most unique individuals that he's ever met and like gets to the line about the, you made the worst judgment you can make, like, you're the one that made that. It hit me and I'm not even the one in the situation.
I know. It's so, because you can tell how much Turner cares about him and he's trying so hard to just like, especially for him to hear like, Sean felt incomplete. Sean felt different. Sean felt othered. And the last thing that Turner ever wanted for him, part of the reason why he was like, come live with me, is because he didn't want him to feel so ostracized. Like, that's how he felt living with the Matthews. He felt like he didn't belong there. And so for Turner to hear that he always felt like that, even when he was with him and he was trying so hard to like make his home and like their place like a safe space and trying to like, you know, with the like guardian papers and like everything that happened with them.
Yeah.
When he was trying to do that and do his best at it, to know that like the whole time Sean still felt othered and different and disconnected, he probably felt horrible to hear that. And that's why he was like, no, let's dwell on that. And like, that's how you relate to people. That's what makes you a person. Like, Sean couldn't see that like that was Turner trying to reach out a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he was like, but the center. And Turner's like, no, you are special. You are unique and I care about you. And if you let them change that, then that's the wrong decision. And you made that choice. And he just can't, he's, I don't know who I am. Heartbreaking.
It's sad because like we as viewers have also seen four seasons of knowing kind of who Sean is. Because again, from an outside perspective, it's easier to see. But This episode is sad.
It's sad. It's sad and it hurts. And it's one of my favorite episodes of television that exists in the universe.
It just keeps getting more sad.
I know. And it truly, it just keeps getting worse. Okay. The next episode. What? The next scene. We are back at the center. Corey and Eric walk in and Corey's like, this is it. And Eric's like, con men, fakes and charlatans, I say. Then he holds up a parking pass and yells, which one of you brainwash nuts validates parking? No one responds, and Corey's like, Eric, listen, I would not underestimate these people, okay? They did get Sean. Eric says, no offense to Sean or anything, but it takes a pretty weak-willed and gullible individual to succumb to this kind of blatant scam. A pretty girl then walks up and introduces herself as Alicia, welcomes them to the center, and hugs Eric. Eric pulls out his wallet and says, here's my money, where's my room? Corey grabs his wallet and says, yes, he has his conflicts, but we're not staying, we're just here for a visit. She says, I understand, you're feeling lost, alone, abandoned. Eric says, yes. My emotional palette is missing yellow and blue. Where's my room? She grabs his hand and he starts to walk away with her, like, giddily. And Corey's like, Eric, Eric. And he says, no, no, no. My new nut name is Sunflower Fortunato. A bunch of, which is nothing. A bunch of girls have gathered behind Corey during this and are just looking at him, kind of flirty. I want to pause here because it is very interesting the way that they use girls to, like, suck other children in, mostly boys. That is fascinating to me. It's, like, another layer on the darkness. Because, like, all of these girls are just immediately clocked to, like, oh, there's a new boy in this room. And especially Alicia to come in and be like, you're feeling lost. Yeah. You're feeling abandoned.
It's creepy. Like,
it's creepy and it's scary. And I, ooh, yeah. Anyway, he turns and sees them and then does what I think is the Star Trek hand.
Yeah, he does the Vulcan salute.
Vulcan salute. I didn't know what the fuck it's called.
Live long and prosper, baby. Which is great because he's essentially just referring to them a little bit like aliens. And yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, that's very fun. He does that at them nervously and goes, hello. And then Sean walks up and says, Corey, what are you doing here? Corey holds his arms out. And when Sean does nothing, he says, what? No hug? And Sean's like, Corey, the center isn't the kind of place for someone like you, okay? You have something to believe in. I'm still looking. You should go. I belong here. Corey says, so that's it, huh? You've chosen the center. You're going to live here with these juji fruits. You can't see through this. Eric and Alicia walk by again. And Eric says, Corey, I want to spend the rest of my life here. And the beauty part is, in the winter, I can go to their tanning and hugging center in the Bahamas. Which is... just, there's so much. Corey tries to start again, but Sean stops him. Leave me alone, okay? It's not like I'm doing drugs. Corey rebuts, it's just like you're doing drugs, okay? I mean, you're having your mind messed with. You're not the person I know, and everything you say is artificial, okay? You're not going to find what you're looking for here. Sherry has walked up during this, and is just standing near Sean as he replies, 16 years of being out there, I haven't found anything at all. Corey says, this guy, Mr. Mack, can't help you find what you're looking for, because you don't know what you're looking for, all right? You're 16 years old. That's what this guy does. He makes you think you're lost so he can find you, and once he has you, he will never let you out of his sight, okay? He will be there every time you turn around. Mr. Mack then walks up behind Corey, which he senses and finishes, allow me to demonstrate. He does the
Vulcan salute.
Vulcan salute. See, I'm a nerd, but in a very different way. Star Trek. He does the Vulcan salute again and says, hello. Mac welcomes him to the center, and Corey turns back to Sean and says, okay, he's very powerful. Then back to Mac, who do I make the check out to? Mac walks over to Sean and, like, puts his hands on his shoulders and says, you're here to see that your friend Sean is making the right choice for himself. So check us out. I think you're going to like what you see. Nobody judges who you are or where you come from. Everyone here is the same. Corey looks around and sees a door with a sparkly star on it and asks, can I go in that room? And Mac says, no, that's the celebrity room. Mac walks away and Corey says, that is the slickest guy I've ever seen. Sean ignores this and says, so you see, Corey, I'm not a prisoner here. I can leave anytime I want. Corey says, okay, then I think we should go now. I think we should leave right now. But as Corey starts to go, the room darkens and Mac at a podium starts to speak. Children of the center, let's welcome into our family our new life member, Sean Hunter. Everyone applauds and starts to hug Sean, and he says to Corey, goodbye. And that is how we end the scene.
Oh, man. Everything about it.
So much.
Yeah, I mean, Eric immediately coming in and judging it is extremely funny given the circumstance, because then he falls to it himself, and that's great. What bums me out is, I mean, Sean saying, like, he belongs there, but I love Corey that whenever he's, like, sticking up and just is actually talking to him of, like, it is like you're doing drugs. Like, yeah. Everything is, like, robotic. It's artificial. It's all these things. Like, this is not actually you. Mm-hmm. For Sean to Corey, of all people, to then say that he's been out there for 16 years and doesn't know who he is so sad. Because, like, for Turner, it's one thing because they're also, you know, they have the teacher relationship, but also, like, the friend relationship, like, yeah, almost guardian level. But Corey, he does everything with and yeah, talks to him about everything. And so for then it to be, like, nothing in the past has mattered up until this yeah moment, like, every lesson that he's ever learned, all of it, to just be nothing.
And that's gonna be hard for Corey too, because for so much of their young life, he wanted to be just like Sean.
Yeah.
And he was like, Sean has it all together. Sean is so cool. Like, Sean really gets, like, all of this stuff. And for him to be like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want. Like, I haven't found anything. It's just such a flip from who, obviously, for who the person that Corey believes he knows and really who Sean actually is, right? Like, from what we know about Sean, it's so sad to, like, hear them have this, like, argument about it.
Yeah. And this man, Mr. Mack, just makes you think that, I know Corey says this, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but the fact of, like, he makes you think that you're lost, yes, and everything. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. It's like, there's nothing, there may be, like, problems that you have in your life or some hardships, but it's not like everything, like, the world is ending, this type yeah of thing. Cause in that moment, it's like, he's still going to school. He's still doing everything. Mm-hmm. He just needs some little encouragement or, like, some little type of guidance, and then it just completely took over his life. I also hate whenever Mac is saying everyone here is the same. I'm like, that is the problem.
Yeah.
That's exactly the problem. I always think back to that. Did you watch The Fairly Odd Parents?
Yes.
There's one episode where Timmy wishes that everybody is the same and they're all, like, gray yeah blobs. Yeah, and yeah, it's like, it all seems great until you're actually trying to live your life. This is, like, I imagine the entire situation of this, of, like,
ooh,
they are all just the same. And it's
like that episode of SpongeBob where Squidward moves to the Squidwardville.
Yes. And they're
he
all
just gets so bored.
Yes. And it's like, it's good for that little minute, but, like, overall, this is going to be a worse experience because yeah then it's like, I am, one, judging everybody. I don't actually know what I believe because mm-hmm what I'm believing is, like, someone just kind of, not, like, force feeding, but that type of way, like, into my mind, that it's not actually, like, my own thoughts yeah and it's not my own understanding of everything. So it just, that made me think of that.
And you're not growing as a person either in any way when no you're spending time with people who are just parroting back the same thoughts that you have. I mean, that's why they say, like, politically, like, when you live in more diverse places, you're more likely to have more liberal political views because you're exposed to different things and that widens your viewpoints and your horizons. Oh, it's so scary. It's just so scary to think about.
Yeah. They're just kind of creating their own little, like, bubble mm-hmm that, like, no one else can, I mean, people can still come into it, but it's like, they have everybody there to just constantly, you know, spew their own thoughts to each other, and that's yeah it. And, like, the more that kind of festers, the worse it's going to be overall. And it's sad to think, like, how long have some of those kids been there?
I know. I was thinking about it, and there's so many of them there. It's like, that place is filled with kids. And to think they're all just, like, being influenced by this one man's voice is... And how? Thinking, like, I feel so cared for and not judged and, like, just all of this stuff. Like, I mean, I'm very curious. I mean, we don't get very much by way of logistics on how the center works, right? Like, Eric makes a joke about, like, here's my money, where's my room? And Corey says, like, who do I make the check out to? And it doesn't seem like money is actually that much of a factor here, right, which I find fascinating because realistically. How's it happening? Yeah. I mean, how's it happening? But also, because, like, Sean doesn't have money like that. Like, so there's no way that he's, like, contributing financially. So the like, scary following thought is, like, this man is just doing this to manipulate children because he loves the power and, like, in some gross way probably gets off on it in some way.
I mean, I was going to say, what is the celebrity room?
Yeah. What's that room for?
What is that?
Like, it's a joke, but also think about it. What's that room for?
It's creepy.
It's creepy. It's creepy and bad.
Yeah. I mean, even at the end of it, too, like, they're making him feel so valued by, like, having him up on stage, like, really making a point to be like, this is our keyword, life mm-hmm member.
Mm. Okay. You know, I think now we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more cult fiction right after this.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid. Welcome to The Midroll, the spot where we do announcements, featured ads, and anything else that we want to talk about. First things first, if you like our show and any of the others on the network, please consider backing us at patreon.com/thescavengersnetwork. For just $2 a month, you can get access to hours and hours of bonus content, and every donation helps support us and the network. Mentioned it before, I'll say it again, I'll continue to keep saying it. We have merch, new merch that's available on the Scavengers Network website. Go to scavengersnetwork.com/shop and click on the Lost Years. Get yourself either our old tried and true Sweet Little Idiot Dad hat, or you can get yourself a Nostalgia Buds bucket hat, a sticker, a nostalgia-based notebook that you can write all of your things in, and a tee, a Nostalgia Buds t-shirt. So, again, head on over to scavengersnetwork.com/shop. I believe the promo code is still going on. It's found at the top of the site, so go ahead and get yourself some merch. Wear it around. Show us. Hey, a really fun announcement. Like we've said before, Tay and I are not going to 90sCon this year. However, our 90sCon 2022 vlog is now available for viewing on the Scavengers Network YouTube page. If you type in 90sCon 2022 vlog with Sid and Tay, it'll pop right up as well. And it's a fun little video. We had a fun time. It was fun to kind of revisit everything and get to make a little video for everybody. So go ahead and check it out. And yeah, I think that's all I have today. This episode is pretty intense, and we get a little emotional at the end. So I think now it's just a good time to jump back into it. But first off, do you have water nearby? If not, you should get some. And if you need a little snack, go ahead and treat yourself because you deserve it. Thanks for joining us. Let's get back to the episode.
Hey man, have you listened to Dazed and Confused 33 and a third? Be a lot cooler if you did.
Dazed and Confused 33 and a third. We're cruising through the movie one song at a time with a cool new guest every week. We're talking about the fashion, the music, the characters, what they meant to us then, and how we relate to them now. So join us at Dazed and Confused 33 and a third.
Just keep living, man. LIVIN.
And we're back. The next scene. We are in the Matthews' backyard. Corey walks out talking to his parents and Feeny, who's in his yard, and says, "You know, guys, I'm his best friend, and it's like he doesn't hear me anymore. I mean, why does he have so much faith in this center?" Alan says, "Okay, let's get in the car, drive down there, and drag him out ourselves." Feeny says, "I'm going with you. I'm well acquainted with the center. I've been trying to close it down for some time now. This Mr. Mack is a frightening man." Sean and Eric then walk up in the side yard, and Sean greets everyone. Amy asks if he's all right, and he says, "Of course I am. I'm totally centered." Alan sort of whispers a thanks to Eric for bringing him back, and Sean's like, "Actually, I brought Eric back." Mr. Mack felt that he wasn't sincere, that he was just in it for the hugs. Eric says, "Well, yeah." Sean's like, "Okay, well, everyone have a peaceful night. I'm going back to the center." Alan's like, whoa, no, you're not. While your parents are out of town, you are our responsibility. Amy adds, "That means you're staying here in this house." Sean says, "Yeah. Mr. Mack told me people like you would try to talk me out of my beliefs." Amy's very taken aback like this. She's like, "Sean, we love you." Sean rebuts, "He said you'd say that." Alan's like, "All right, that's enough. Get him in the house and tie him up." Feeny says, "Sean, these aren't beliefs. This is just a way to escape a life that doesn't have beliefs." Sean says, "That's a judgment." Feeny replies, "You're damn right it is." Sean's like, "What's wrong with me trying to find something to believe in?" Feeny's like, "Look, Sean, I'm all for your search for spirituality, okay? But you don't seem to realize that what Mr. Mack is conducting is a search of his own for lost souls that he can influence and manipulate." Sean replies, "He said you'd say that." Feeny's frustrated now. "Yes, I'm sure he's given you a thought for every occasion." The phone rings in his house and he excuses himself to go answer it. Corey says, "Look, Sean, I don't say this very often, but Feeny's making sense." Sean rebuts, "Not to me. I mean, why would Feeny feel the need to attack what I believe in?" Amy asks Sean why he needs to believe in the center so strongly, and he's like, "What?" Alan adds, "Sean, before you met these people at this place, what did you believe in?" Sean is shook now. "I don't know. Nothing." Alan asks, "Did you believe in God?" Sean cannot answer, and after a beat, Feeny comes out of his house looking worried. Alan asks what's wrong, and he says Jonathan Turner has been in a motorcycle accident. Amy says, "Oh no," and Corey asks if he's okay. Feeny says, "No, he isn't. Alan, would you give me a lift down to the hospital?" Amy says, "We'll all go," and the Matthews and Feeny start to head into the house to leave. Sean, though, looks panicked and starts backing away. Corey's like, "Come on, Sean," and he says, "I'll meet you guys there." And Corey's like, "What do you mean?" And Sean just repeats, "I'll meet you guys there." He walks off, and that is the end of the scene.
Okay, I'm just going to start at the beginning and then just go, because if I start at the end, not going to be good. I really love, first of all, the scene just starts with Amy, Alan, and Feeny just talking in the backyard, and Corey just walking up and is like, hey.
It's weird framing. I'm glad you brought it up, because I wasn't going to say anything, but it is so strange. Like, the back door is just open, and Corey walks out in what seems like the middle of a conversation, but like he's also involved in it. So was he in the kitchen screaming out into the yard?
Like, part of me thinks, was he already talking to them and then we just like came in mid conversation about that point?
Yeah.
Like, was he like already briefing them? I know, but like, did he do the thing where like he turned around? Like, you know, I'm like trying to think of it logistically, because every time that it started when I watched this, I was like, this is weird. Yeah, why is this a weird way to open the scene? Because, I mean, he could have come out and just, like, can I, like, talk to you guys for a second? Yeah. Something. But he just immediately jumped into the conversation, and so I was just confused.
Yeah, we're, like, jumping in media res, and it's, like, for why?
I mean, I do love that they talk about it a little bit and are kind of having a dialogue of, like, what they should do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they do want to go help Sean, and, like, Feeny's known about this. He's, like, trying to shut it down. He's, like...
I love that Feeny already knows about it.
And the fact, like, he's advocating for it to not exist anymore, because, again, he cares about the kids so much.
He cares about the kids.
Yeah, and just, like, the fact that they also bring up about Sean having faith in the center, like, what's the reason? And kind of just trying to pitch it between them before they even ask him about it or try to get him out. The way that Sean just appears, I know it's, like, bringing Eric back, but it's always... the most convenient times of like, hey, we're just talking about you.
We're just talking about you.
And I mean, it's sad that, you know, he's immediately just wanting to go back. And this is a place that he's willingly come for the last however many years of his life and felt very comfortable, like not living with the Matthews for the longest time, but like just being there and hanging out with all of them. And the fact that it's like, no, I'm not even here to stay long. I'm going to go back. Mm-hmm. Is so sad. Alan gets a little aggressive at this point, which I know keeps happening in this episode.
Yeah. Historically, Alan, I think we've talked about this, where Alan just has like a little bit, he's got some anger issues.
This was last episode that we talked about.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It's like, and Amy, I think, really balances him out in that aspect, but it is very interesting to see the sort of like ways that he is dealing with this specific frustration and the way he continues to deal with it.
Yep. That's why I was editing last week's episode this week, and then whenever you said like, yeah, he's got a little bit of aggression, and I was like, oh, I know. I knew exactly what it was. Because yeah, he does not go hard. It was the fact that he was like, all right, tie him up. I was like, Alan.
it's very funny, but like also like you think about it too hard, it's like, whoa.
He's still a child. You need to relax.
He's like, we're going to drag him out if we have to. And it's like, okay, relax. He is 16.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that Feeny too, because this is one of the things that Turner and Corey have both been doing. It's like, they're trying to just like ask him questions about like why he cares that much about it. Yeah. And I know like he keeps jumping to that defensive, but it's like, it's okay to have beliefs, but like they also have to be
based
your beliefs.
Yeah.
Or even just like having a little bit of thought with it, because if Sean were to take a step back and just kind of see what was going on again, like he did at the beginning, it's like, this isn't ideal. Like, this man is literally just telling you what to think and not to think. Mm-hmm. And like not giving you space to like grow or do anything. Yeah, the fact that he keeps responding like he told us he would say that.
People like you. Oh my gosh.
I like that Feeny also says that to a T of like, he's giving you a thought for every occasion. Like that's not right.
Yeah.
And in this moment, why on earth, when I was watching it the first time, I was like, why would they point out that Feeny's getting a phone call? Because they've never done that in the past really before.
Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, it's about to be something bad. And sure enough.
I like that Feeny is Turner's emergency contact.
I was going to say that.
It's really sweet.
They're just buds.
That's to that level. Best friends. Yeah.
Oh, and it's so sad. I mean, the way that, I will say again, the way that Bill Daniels does this scene and just the shock that he has and is like kind of reacting like with his hands and doing everything.
So physically, yeah.
Yeah, is very true, because it's like you're just taken aback with awful news about somebody that you know. I don't know. I think it's so sad that Sean still at this point doesn't just go with them or doesn't feel like he can just go with them. It's like he has to hold off and go somewhere else. It's like this guy was your guy.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
It's very interesting to see the way that Sean reacts to this news, because realistically, all the people, with the exception of like Topanga's obviously not there, right? All the people who need to know about this were in the lawn when it happened. Yeah. And for Sean to immediately withdraw, like in the very much like fight, flight, or freeze, like he fled.
Yeah.
And we soon find out why. But like for him to not want to be with those people who, for all intents and purposes, are fully his family, it's just like, how deeply lost are you right now?
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those moments that like the last thing that he said to Turner, and like they had the whole conversation of like, you chose this, that's gonna be on you. And then he's like, well, I don't know who I am. And that's kind of like the lasting thing, that you don't know what is gonna happen at the end of this.
I think about the thing that I think about with this is that Sean was going to hug him and then Turner stopped him, and like they could have hugged.
Okay.
I think about that purely because of the video game Life is Strange 2, where there's like at the very beginning of that, there's just like disgusting police brutality, and you're the main. This is a spoiler for that game, but also don't play it; it's terrible. But like, there's police brutality. The main character's dad like dies in the first like 15 minutes of the game. And there's a moment where you're talking to him before it gets dramatic, where you have the choice to hug him or not.
Oh my God.
And like if you don't hug him later when he's talking to like a different character, he's like, I never even hugged him. Like I could have hugged him goodbye right before and I didn't. And it's like, I did hug him in the video game when I played it, just for the record. But like, that's what I thought when he like stopped him from hugging. I was like, you're about to be in a motorcycle accident.
I will say too, this when you have not seen this episode, like I know that you've seen this a lot of times, I'm assuming. It was one that, again, like as soon as Feeny got the phone call, I was like, like something bad is about to happen, and it's going to be like the worst case scenario. And so then I was thinking like, who is he interacting with? And I was like, no. And it just broke my heart.
Yeah, man.
Because also, I just like Turner so much.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so sad to be like, well, the one thing that he also loved that wasn't about teaching, it was the thing that also kind of wrecked him. And that's unfortunate.
Sid is crying, just for the
record. It's not going to get better, I'm going to tell you.
I've seen this episode too many times that like I didn't cry when watching it, but I'll probably cry when talking about it.
I was going to say, you're the one that gets to say all of the lines.
I know, so. I have to say all the words. I feel like I had more thoughts about this. I wanted to talk about Feeny a little bit more, because I do find it really interesting how Feeny very much was like, I am for you looking for spirituality, but this is not that. And I need you to see that specifically. Like, this is not beliefs. This is a way to escape, like, not having them.
Yeah.
And for Sean to be like, that's a judgment. And Feeny's like, yeah, it's a judgment. And I'm it's a correct judgment, actually. Because judgment is not inherently negative, right? You make judgments all the time in your everyday life in order to survive. That is how brains work. Yes. So for him to keep just parroting, like, that's a judgment. You're being judgmental. That's a judgment. Yes, it is a judgment. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Especially when it's negatively impacting your life and will continue to do so. And also because anybody else, again, that's like an exterior view on it.
Yeah.
They're going to see that this is not good. And so for multiple people to also be like, hey, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And maybe you shouldn't be doing this, to just be like, you're judging me for this. It's like, yes.
Yes, I am.
We're trying to help you.
I really, really like that. The thing that most of the people in these situations, like, obviously, everybody's frustrated trying to like talk him out of it. But the thing that they all kept coming around to was, what did you believe in before?
Yeah.
Like everybody's asking, like, what do you believe in? What did you believe in? Why do you need to believe in the center? And like, that's like, obviously the core of the episode is like about beliefs, right? But like, I really appreciated that was the core question. It wasn't just coming down to specifically like, that's a cult and that's stupid and you need to stop doing that, right? It was really trying to understand what was going on with Sean and why he needed to hold on to that so badly. Like, everybody cared enough to be like, why though? Yeah. And I think that's just like so good and important and beautiful.
Even down to Corey. Corey had also asked him, which was shocking.
I know. I love it.
And I know this is going back to that scene, but like the way that he pitched it too, where he's like, I've known you. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't talked about this. What do you believe in? It's like, yeah, that's out of nowhere. And I mean, not out of nowhere. It's in the yeah. situation, but it's like, that's a deep thing to all of a sudden ask. And it's so sad that Sean is just able to kind of still, like, it's the moments, those are the moments whenever they ask that he's like still, again, caught off guard.
Yeah, because he can't answer that question.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know.
So it's, oh boy.
Oh boy. Okay, so the next scene, we are at the hospital. The Matthews and Feeney are waiting as Topanga walks in, sits on a small table next to Corey. She asks how Turner is, and he says the doctors are with him. We're waiting to hear. Topanga looks around and says, where's Sean? Corey replies, I have no clue. Topanga says, Mr. Turner and Sean are like brothers. How could he not be here? Corey just shakes his head. I don't know. Sean, though, shows up immediately after this, and Corey stands when he sees him. Mr. Mack then walks in, dramatically timed behind him, and everyone just looks at him. He says, Sean thought I could be of some help. He introduces himself to the parents as Philip Mack, and then just says, Feeney. Feeney says, Mac, you don't belong here. Mac says, one of my children invited me, and as always, I'm here for him, as well as any other child who calls for me. Eric immediately stands up and says, I want to come back. And Mac's like, no, no, no. Which is funny. Corey turns to Sean and says, what is he doing here? Sean says, Corey, I couldn't face this alone. Corey's like, first of all, we're here. And second, I'm beginning to see that you are more alone than I ever knew. Sean's like, what does that mean? We cut away from them, though, and Mac walks up to Feeney and says, I just want you to know that I forgive you for trying to shut us down. Feeney stands and says, you forgive me? And Alan's like, easy, George. He's just trying to get a rise out of you. Look, you're not dealing with gullible little kids here now, buddy. Okay, you brought Sean down. Thanks. Now, why don't you just take a hike back to Conland? Mac to Sean over, like, Alan's shoulder starts. Now, do you see how judgmental these people? But Alan shoves him hard against the wall and says, no, listen, you see. The judgment that I made a long time ago is that Sean Hunter is the best friend my kid ever had. And I will kill to protect Sean Hunter from people like you. Which is, honestly, I got chills just repeating it. Like, it's cold. It's cold. It's cold. It's so good.
It's like so dramatic and also so emotional, like to the point where I could cry. Like, it's one of those lines where you hear it and you're like, oh my God.
I think about that line a lot. Like, it's just so, because in this moment, you see how protective Sean's not parents are over him and his relationship with Corey. Like, despite all the things that they have gone through as kids, all the trouble that they've gotten in, like, they love him just as much as they love Corey. Yeah. Like, it's, and like, it's bad. Let me just say, aggression is not the answer, guys. But this is fire.
And also threatening to murder somebody, also not great. However, not great. I do love the idea that it's like, I would do anything for this kid.
Yes. It's really, it's just, it's so good. It's so good. It's bad, but it's so good. Okay. Yeah. You get me. You get me. You get me.
Yeah.
So Amy warns Alan, he would love a lawsuit, which is so true. Like, so true. Max straightens his suit jacket and says, I think there's a lot of anger here, which gets a laugh from the audience because everybody's tense the fuck up in this moment. He says, and I don't feel this is a healthy environment for Sean. Feeney starts, well, I don't really, and Mac cuts him off. Look, I know you don't respect my philosophy, but for kids who feel lust and have an emptiness in their lives, I'm here to give them a sense of belonging. Feeney replies, you can't have Sean. And Mac says, that's up to Sean. And in any event, there are many more just like him. So come on, Sean, let's go. He turns, but the trio is nowhere to be found. Do you want to pause here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the next moment is about to be...
Yeah, it's about to be a moment. So we're going to take... That's a transition, sort of. Thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, Sean not being there at the beginning is still really sad because Corey feels so dejected about the fact that Sean is not there when Topanga asks. He's just kind of given up at that point, which is really sad because it's like that your best friend should be there, given their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sad. And then the fact that Mac walks in, I was so mad. I figured that that's what was going to happen, but it's still like, Sean, again, all of the people that do care, like should care about the situation are around.
They're already there. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like the fact that he didn't think, or like, I don't know, he didn't think like the fact that he could even go with the Matthews family or like Feeny with like to the hospital is just sad. I don't know. I like that Corey is kind of open about the fact of like, you're more alone than I ever knew. Yeah. Because I don't know, it's so weird to like, I couldn't imagine being in this type of situation and just like watching your friend going through this of like, we've tried all that we can to help, or just like even just questioning about it.
Yeah.
And it's sad that like he's gotten to that point where this is just like the way, at least until this moment.
Yeah.
But I know we talked about Alan, but also Feeny talking to Mr. Mac about this and how he's saying like, I forgive you for trying to shut us down. I was like, buddy.
Oh, no, you didn't. Feeny, I really like that he's like, George, relax. He's trying to get a rise out of you, okay? And then Alan immediately turns around and is like, you got a rise out of me, buddy. You shut your mouth.
Yeah, it's so sad because there are two different types of wanting to help kids in this moment, because we all know Feeny as being Mr. Feeny, and he's doing a bang-up job just with everything of like helping kids out, and like Matt claims to be doing it and like helping these lost kids and everything, and it's like, you're not, like, you're giving them this little sense of security, but like you're just wanting to have that control over them, and that's not the same. And it's I wanted to punch this guy.
I know.
And so I was happy that Alan got too. He got shoved. It was the best thing, even though I was like, this is bad, but also it's great.
Yeah.
It makes for great TV. Yeah, again, the line about Sean Hunter is the best friend that my kid ever had is so good and so sad.
But Feeny saying you can't have Sean.
Yes, that was the other line. It's so good. God, I think it's also Mac just being like, it's for kids who feel lost, and like, I'm giving them this sense of belonging. And I'm like, you're an older man that is just with some high schoolers.
It's so deeply evil, right? Because he says, I'm here to give these kids a sense of belonging. And Feeny says, you can't have Sean. And Mac's like, that's up to Sean. But even if Sean says no, there are others. And it doesn't matter because there are more just like him. Which, like, that's how you can tell, right? It's just that one little turn.
He just like, doesn't care.
In any event, there are more. There will always be more kids who feel lost, who I can manipulate, who I can take. It's so, oh my God, I just got chills thinking about it. It's so scary.
And, you know, Sean isn't even there for that moment to hear that, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he's already gone. The entire time has been like, this man has been helping me, and like, he cares, and he's not judging me. And it's like, he doesn't even care about you to the point where like, if you're gone, doesn't matter. You're just like another number for him. And it's so weird.
It's so, yeah. I would love to know the exact moment that they left the room. I would love to know that exact moment. But in general, like the way that you said, like that you're just a number to him, like, you don't actually, he's trying very hard to make you, not even trying that hard, to make you think that he cares specifically about you, and he doesn't care about you. He cares about the number, he cares about the perspective, he cares about the manipulation, he cares about all of those things. He does not care about you as a person.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, oh my God, I just remembered this again, but whenever Alan is like, right, like, Alan and Feeny and Amy are kind of in between like him and Sean, and how he has the audacity to like try to then speak to Sean over them and is like, you see, Sean, like, these
see
people
how judgmental.
I was like that was the moment I was like, push him. Punch him, please.
he deserves it.
I hate this guy.
Yeah, he sucks really bad.
I have a fun trivia fact about him at the end.
Oh,
but
my God,
I'm gonna
please
save it.
Oh, at the end. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is technically still the same scene, but it's a cutaway. So we cut into the hospital room. The trio is standing at Turner's bedside. Turner is covered in gauze and cast. He's got a neck brace and an elevated leg. His face is all beat up. He is seemingly unconscious, but heart monitor sounds steady. Sean says, Corey, I can't be in here. This is too intense. Topanga says, for all of us, Sean, but this is life and this is what's really happening right now. Sean says, I need Mr. Mac. And Topanga says, no, he can't help you with this. Sean, what is the matter with you? And Sean's like, I don't know, but I can't look at him like this. He tries to leave, but Corey shoves the door closed before he can. And Sean's like, come on, let me go. And Corey blocks his way and says, no. And Sean repeats, let me go. And Corey grabs him and says, Sean, this is a hug, okay? This is a hug. And this is when you hug somebody, when you care about them and you want them to know that. He lets go and says, now you cannot leave here. Do you hear me? Turner took care of you. He loves you and you love him. Is that real or a Mr. Mack in the center reel. You decide, but you cannot go. We can go. He opens the door for Topanga and they leave. Sean turns back to the bed looking terrified. And here we get, again, one of the best TV speeches on television. I think we're just going to cut it in because, one, listening to me do it is not going to do it justice. And two, it should be heard in its entirety. It's beautiful and perfect and wonderful.
Sean, how could you be in here? How could you screw up on your bike? I have never seen you screw up on anything. I'm the screw up, remember? Come on, you remember. Don't do this to me, John. I don't do alone real good. Look, I know you're in there, but it's like you're not really here. You're not talking, but I know you're here. So I'm just gonna talk. You can listen. John, even when I was at the center, it was all the things that you taught me that made me wonder if it was the right place for me or not. But you didn't teach me enough. You and Corey and my parents and the Matthews and the handful of people who really care about me, so don't blow me off, John. Don't blow me off, God. I've never asked you for anything, and I never wanted to come to you like this. But don't take Turner away from me. He's not done yelling at me yet. God, you're not talking, but I know you're here. So I'm gonna talk. And you can listen. God, I don't want to be empty inside anymore.
At the end of this speech, he goes to hold Turner's hand that's just sort of laying on the bed, and we see that hand slowly close around Sean's. He's still unconscious, but Sean sort of smiles, hopefully, and just sort of looks at him, and that is the end of the episode.
Dude, I'm not okay.
Sid is crying.
This scene hit me way too hard.
Yeah.
Which I know is the point.
It is the point. It is always the point. Get you right in the gut.
Yeah. Okay. Am
I trying to... I can't express. She's like full weeping, guys.
I knew. I told you I'd cry during this episode. You did, yeah. So it's fun.
Even though I read it and I was like, I feel silly reading it because yeah. Ryder Strong. Can we just really talk about Ryder Strong for a second?
That's one of my notes. He, throughout this entire scene, and it really entire episode, but really yeah. This scene is incredible.
Yeah.
The way that he delivers everything, he has, like, the right pauses in it. Like, he's not rushing anything, and, like, yeah. He's putting the right emotion and, like, kind of, like, anger at some points. Like, yeah. It's so good. Okay. I think at the beginning of this, I really, like, this is the first time that we've also heard Topanga speaking on the subject.
True.
And so it's interesting to just be, like, he can't help you with this. Like, this mm-hmm. is, like, you have to deal with this. This is your guy. The fact that Corey then hugs him, that's when I first started crying in this episode yeah. when I watched it, because I was like, oh my God.
It's so good. Because at the beginning,
they make it seem like it's such a caring, like, love is pure joy and all these yes. things, but it's at the same time, they do it so many times that it also becomes meaningless.
Yeah, that hug is another just like manipulation tactic to be like, we care about you. See, we hug you all the time because we care about you so much.
And for Corey to have the reaction mid-episode where Sean gives him a hug and then he's like, whoa, we yeah. don't do that. Like, let's not do that again. And then he's the one that goes in for the hug to try to yeah. help and just be like literally centering him in this moment yeah. and is like, this is what this is. You need to figure this out. Like, is that real? Whenever he yelled that line too, because he did it with like his voice just got a little bit louder and I was like, yeah. oh my God.
Yeah.
Because again, it's one of those conflicts that they don't always have conflicts between them or like these types of moments. And so then when it's like really, when it happens, it's so interesting.
It's so interesting. It's so impactful too. Like, it really, really means something to like watch them deal with conflict in any way, but like especially a conflict like this, where it's not even like somebody is doing something wrong, yeah. right? It is very much like, we are just trying to get through to you because we love you so much. And this is painful for us to watch you deal with this and like not hear us. And we know that you're making the wrong choice, right? And you don't know that yet. You haven't figured it out, and you will figure it out because we love you and we trust you. And just like trying to get through to them in the way that ways that they are, for Corey to be like, this is a hug. This is when you hug someone, when you care about them.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact of him then telling him to like, Turner took care of you. He loves you. Like, this is now. This is this moment. Mm-hmm. But okay, Sean's speech. There's just so many lines of it that I loved, and it made me so emotional just to hear him say it, because yeah. it's like, that's the first time where he's also been very honest about like how he's feeling throughout this yeah. entire episode. Like, he kind of did with Turner at the beginning, or like mid beginning, whatever. Yeah. But it's like his moment with this monologue to just talk about everything. And it's like, mm-hmm. he you know, talks about the fact that Turner's kind of always been this, not like perfect, but like quote unquote type of perfect guy. It's like, I've never seen you screw up.
Yeah.
I don't
screw up.
I'm getting like ahead of myself when just reading my notes about it. But the fact whenever he said like, I don't do alone real good, I was like, oh, like knowing that he was alone when Turner like took him in.
Oh,
because he made
you
that
talking
choice.
About it is gonna make me cry.
I know. Because that was the whole thing of like, his parents had left and then they were all just trying to figure out what to do, and Turner yeah. was the one to do that. Is really sad to have it be turned around of like, you don't know if he's gonna pass in this moment yeah. and it's like, I don't do this real well. I can't even do this thing.
I'm like, not, I wasn't crying just reading it.
I gotta bring you on,
but watching Sid cry is making me cry.
Oh god, if I cry we all cry. But yeah, I mean, it got to the point too where he's like, you didn't teach me enough, like the fact that where he says the thing is like, you taught me, and like, I was thinking about that, like, because we didn't know the entire time of like what Sean's been thinking in the center yeah. but it's like, he was open about the fact like, I had been thinking about it
yeah.
and what you've been telling me. And so for them to him to just say the don't blow me off, John, don't blow me off, God, was such a, it's a very powerful line that I was not expecting. Yeah. Because it's kind of the first moment where Sean's ever had a belief, it seems, in this moment. Because
yeah.
he didn't have anything before. He had this thing now, and it's not ideal or the best. And now it's like, I don't know where else to turn. I don't want this to, you know, I don't want this to happen. Like, I don't want you to take him from me. And that's so sad.
I also think it's really interesting, he's using words that Turner said to him, right? Like, in this moment he's like, you're one of the handful of people who care about me, so don't blow me off, is what, and which is,
and Turner
exactly
said,
what
it
Turner
at
said at the beginning of the episode. And for him to then use that in sort of addressing God and asking like, I've never asked you for anything, so like, please don't, like, this is, I'm asking you for one thing right now, like, please don't take Turner away from me.
Like, yeah.
Is like, it's just like so impactful in that moment. And he's like, if you may not be talking, but I know that you're here and I need you to listen to me. Like, I don't want to be empty inside anymore. So what does that mean for me now and for you now, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm trying to decide if I want to talk about this for myself. It's very interesting thinking about like my current relationship, quote unquote, with God, and like how I feel about deities, religion, etc. To feel like you've had so, like, from Sean's perspective, to feel like you've had so little, and then to say like, I've never asked you for anything. Like, I don't, something about that line is just like really, really getting me, because it's like, he quietly believed in God this whole time, right? And maybe yeah. he quietly believed that he just never was like good enough for God to bother intervening on his behalf. And he's like, you know what? Fine, whatever. So I don't have to believe that strongly because X, Y, Z, right? But like, for him to be like, I have never asked you for anything and I didn't want to come to you like this, but you need, you can't take Turner from me, is like, that's the one thing he's asking for.
Yeah, that's, I was going to say, like, he's had every opportunity, it seems, in the past. Like, he's had, you know, his parents leaving or his parents fighting or, like, getting left behind or, like, just not having a purpose or, like, sense of his self like he's been saying for this entire episode.
Him being poor. Like, any of the terrible things that kid has had to deal with throughout his life.
And the one thing is that he doesn't want Turner to die. Oh, man. I guess the final thing, the note that I have is I could not handle whenever Turner just lightly grasped his hand at the end.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a moment where you're like, okay, he's going to be like, he's going to live seemingly. I don't know. but, it's just, it's a little moment. Just like, I heard you. Or, like, I know that you're here. And like, he reaches down for his hand, which I also just love.
So just like that little bit of like, again, just like physical, like closeness with this person that you care about so much. I love that there is a moment of like, okay, I may not be able to show you completely, but like I am here and I hear you and I'm here for you. it's so good. I will say there's something to be said for this being like a very Christian pushing on ABC or on like a
it's the 90s.
ABC, like, it's the 90s and it's Disney, like, you know, but I would be remiss if we didn't mention it, but also it is really wonderful and powerful and I think it's very interesting. And I will say too, I think this leads to a lot of interesting stuff around belief when it comes to Sean in later seasons, and
really?
I am kind of excited for the way that they integrate that going forward, because, you know, regardless of how you feel about beliefs, like, everybody has their own in certain ways, and as long as they're not hurting people or trying to hurt, like, or trying to like infringe upon other people, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with people having, you know, various different beliefs, etc., right?
This also seems like, I know that it's the very Christian religious side of it that is being pushed. It does. It totally feels like one of those moments too, where it's like a crisis situation that I feel like happens in a lot of media or just life in general.
Where
it's like, yeah, where you're like, I don't know what to do, and this always seems to be like the person like to go to for people.
Yeah.
So I did. I enjoyed, I guess, like watching him have that moment, because it's like, yeah, this is a real life or death situation for real. Like, I don't know what to do. Hello?
Just truly, like, appealing to any and all powers to help him.
You're like, I can't do anything. Please don't let him die.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see how it all unfolds later.
Yeah.
Oh, just the fact that the freeze frame of just, like, him looking on to Turner is such
It's not even a freeze frame. It's, like, a fade to black, which is, like, I feel like the way that they utilize those is so different sometimes. Like, it changes, you know?
Yeah.
I will say, guys, this is a series wrap on.
I know. I read that after this episode, and I was so mad.
He never comes back.
That's a crime. Funny. How dare you have this entire episode where he's like, you can't have him die, and then he's just gone from the series.
He's gone from the series immediately. And it's really dramatic too, because it is this moment of like, I mean, we get an end credit scene. Where I'm gonna read it in a second, but basically he's like, he's gonna be okay and it's fine. So we know, and also there's like a call out to him in later seasons, so we know that he's alive, right? We know he's okay, but for this to be the last time we ever see him in this show is fucking bonkers.
So I haven't listened to the Pod Meets World episode with him yet, but I am curious if they bring that up at all.
Oh god, I they would have to, right? There's no way they talk to him and they don't.
We still got to reach out on Cameo to him and try to talk to him.
I would very much like to talk to him about the show, but really this episode. Like, how did you feel? How'd you feel when they took your best friend away? And then how'd you feel when they just wrote you out of the show after this. And this was supposed to be earlier in the season, too. I know this one was like a few episodes before it was actually like aired in production order. So he was supposed to be gone sooner.
That's a crime. Hey, it's Boy Meets World writers, why would you do that?
They could have done just like anything. I feel like realistically, past this episode, they don't even mention Turner again. Like, we never hear about him. I'm almost positive that's true. Because when they move on to senior year, we don't see I think the shout out to him doesn't even happen until the end of senior year.
What the heck?
So like, we literally don't hear, we never hear him again.
I can't, like, again, when I read that, I was like, how? Because this is such a big moment. Up. But also, it's so cruel to just be like, hey, you're almost going to die, but you're not.
and then we'll never see you again. And that's the end of your storyline. Good luck.
Like, I know that Turner doesn't die, but mm-hmm. like, for some reason in my head, that's like, you could have done that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
If that was, like, the last time that you were ever planning on having Turner, it's like, I don't know. Maybe it also would have been more impactful. I would have hated it.
I would have
all viewers would have hated it. But
I don't think they ever kill any. I think they can't kill people on Boy Meets World.
I don't think they can. Someone did die.
What?
The lunch lady.
Oh, yeah. The lunch lady died.
You can have people die on this show. Why
did
you
have
Turner die?
I forgot the lunch lady died. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
He had to go to a funeral for the first time. That was his Meeting World episode.
It was.
No, I would have hated if Turner died. But, like,
yeah,
it's just interesting. It's like, hey, you didn't die. We could bring you back. We're not gonna.
Okay, end credits. We are still at the hospital. Sean walks out of the room and Corey asks how Turner is. Sean says he's going to be fine. Corey says, really? Is that what the doctor said? And Sean says, no, I just know that he is. Max steps up and says, Sean, it's obviously been a very stressful day for you, and I think you should come back to the center. Sean says, yeah, I think I should too. And Corey's like, what? And Sean says, I want to pick up my things, and then if it's okay, come back and stay with you guys. He says this to Amy and Alan, and Amy says, yeah, it's okay. Max says, Sean, and steps forward to, I guess, hug him, but Sean stops him and says, you know, I see you right in front of me, and I hear what you have to say, and it's nothing. And if I were an empty person who didn't have anything to believe in, I might go with you, because that would be easy. Well, I'm done with easy, and I'm done with empty. I'm done with you. Max says, well, we'll always be there for you, Sean. Sean says, yeah, I know. Mac gives everybody another look and then leaves, and everyone just looking lovingly and proudly at Sean is how we end the episode in full.
It is everybody smiling at the end that also got me a little bit, just because it's like
they're so proud.
They all recognize like he made the right call, and then also him realizing that all of the people in front of him, he made the right call. What a thing for him to come out of the room and for Mac to just be like, it's obviously been a very stressful day. Like,
truly.
Yeah, no shit, guy. My, like, almost legal guardian just nearly died.
Like, clear, and that's such a clear indication of, like, Mac doesn't know anything about Sean.
No.
He doesn't know a single thing about him. Because if he actually did know how important Turner was to Sean at any point in their relationship, he would have more to say than that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, because he doesn't have anything to say.
Mm.
And I hear what you're saying, and it's nothing.
And I just love that Sean made a judgment call for himself to leave, and it was a judgment, yes, but also it wasn't negative. It was a good thing.
I really like, a lot of times there's like very much the mentality, at least for me, even like, you can't help people unless they want to be helped, right?
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that is going to make somebody change their mind about a situation is if they want to.
Yeah.
And so I think that it is really interesting and also just, like, wonderful the way that Sean sort of comes to his own conclusion on this. Like,
yeah,
obviously, you know, with Turner being injured and, you know, very potentially close to death, as far as we don't know, the way this episode is shown, it is very interesting that, like, that sort of near-death experience for him is what sort of pulls him back from the brink of, like, being essentially brainwashed and manipulated. And I love that it was, even going back to, like, his speech in the moment of, like, it was all the things you taught me that made me wonder if it was the right place for me. And so when he sort of figured it out for himself, he was like, it's not the right place for me, and I'm gonna make that so clear right now. And I just love that. I love that he did that. I find him wonderful.
Yeah. And the fact that Mac was like, saying that they'll always be here for him, and he's like, I know. It's like they're gonna be around. It doesn't mean that it's like right for me to be in that environment. Because it is easy just to be like, okay, all these people are around, but it's not like caring for me on a deeper level than the folks that are in front of me right now. Who are literally about to punch a man for you, potentially kill you, like yelling, you can't have him. Like, these people care so much.
I love how defensive everybody got for Sean in that moment. Just like all the adults, really. Because even thinking back all the way to the first season, when I think it was even, was it the cherry bomb episode where he was like, I had a friend like Sean, or no, I had a friend like you. And I was like Sean, where Alan was talking about like the ways in which Corey and Sean's friendship could be like detrimental. It was like something about crossing the lines. And thinking about how obviously they've been friends for a really long time, but like the way that their relationship has changed and grown as they've gotten older, and the parents just being able to watch that happen and like appreciating it is just like so wonderful to me. I don't know. I just love how much they love him.
Yeah. Well, because at the beginning of the show, it kind of acted like, I mean, they like still cared about Sean, but it also seemed like he's the bad influence friend.
Yeah.
That is
they're
not,
always a little worried about.
Yeah. But it's gotten to a level where even Feeny, who at the beginning of the show, he did not like any of them. Like he liked them because they're, you know, students, but like he was very vocal about the fact of not enjoying them being around or like having them in class. And to get to that level, to be that defensive about him is so good. Mm-hmm. I love this show.
It's really good. It's a really good. It's my favorite. Okay. Well, hey, that's the end of the episode. What was the lesson, Sid?
I mean, there's part of it where, you know, kind of figuring out your beliefs, like it's okay to question things and, you know, just not taking the first thing that you hear at face value too. I think is big. But if you don't think you matter to anybody, just know that you do matter to somebody.
You matter.
Yeah.
It's giving Dear Evan Hansen.
Shh. Don't you dare equate that.
Tell me it's not.
Kasich and Paul have ruined that. Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. I just started thinking, even if you've always been that barely in the background kind of guy, you still matter.
I still can't believe they cut that from the damn movie.
Yo, they cut all the stupid things from the movie. We can't talk about this. We can't talk about this. We don't have time.
I guess also just going back to what Sherry says at the beginning of the episode, the number of people that care about you does not truly matter.
Oh, yeah. Quality over quantity.
Yeah, because that was absurd whenever she's
that
like,
was absurd.
You only have a handful of people? Like, I've got 100 people. I was like, okay.
That's also weird because there's no way you can form close relationships with 100 people.
Exactly.
There's just, that's feasibly impossible.
Yeah, so, yikes. Don't yikes. Be like Sherry.
Sherry, listen.
She had a lot
Sherry, it's not her
on.
Fault. Yeah, she's also being manipulated.
So here's my fun trivia fact about the guy who played Mr. Mack. His name is Jerry Levine or Levine. I don't actually know how to pronounce it, but he is eventually going to return to the series, not in front of the camera, behind the camera, because he directed 5 episodes in the last 2 seasons.
Wow. I did not know that.
Isn't that fun?
That is fascinating. Oh my God, I love that.
Like, I hate him. I love that he got to come back.
Listen, honestly, my favorite thing about, like, villainous characters is if they really make you hate them, like, they did their job, you know? Like, you, great job acting, sir. You, I want to kill you. You did a good job.
Wouldn't it be great if he directed, like, some of your favorite episodes down the road and then it's like,
I'm very curious to know. We'll have to keep an eye. I'll have to keep an eye out because I'm very curious to know which ones he directed. In the last 2 seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. I mean, those are the best seasons, guys. 5, 6, 7. We're about to kick it into high gear, y'all. I'm so pumped for senior year and high school.
College.
Yeah, why did I say high school? I meant college. Thank you.
You got so hyped and I was like, they've been in high school the whole time.
They have been in high school. They've been in high school for a very long time. Well, hey, welcome to the end of the episode. I think timing wise, it was smart of us to skip nostalgia because we're already at an hour and a half.
Yeah, this one's going to be fun too.
So yeah, cutting it down, it'll be a nice little length episode. And I feel like if we had had nostalgia, it would be longer.
It'd certainly be more. Yeah, and if you'd like to keep up with us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Lost Years Pod. I swear I'm going to do something with TikTok.
One day.
It's work, baby.
Yeah, we're all busy.
We share fun memes that, you know, in the episodes drop, and we also ask what you're nostalgic for. I didn't have one this week because this episode is a lot.
So,
going with the theme of nostalgia next time.
Next time. Nostalgia next time. Nostalgia next time.
Nostalgia next time.
I don't know why, but the alliteration was just like, felt really good. I don't know. Yeah, tell us what you're nostalgic for. You can email us at thelostyearspod@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the show. You can also write us, rate a review is what I said.
Rate someone else's review.
Write us and rate a review. Rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, all the good places, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. It really helps us out, helps people find the show. And don't you want to, like, talk to your friends about the cult episode of Boy Meets World and the way that your two favorite podcast hosts dissected it?
I would like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, man. Anyway.
Thank you to the Skywinders Network for having us on the network. You can check out other cool shows like Unnatural 20s and Frankenstein's Jukebox on www.skavengersnetwork.com.
If you want to find us individually, you can find me all over the interwebs at Taycro, T-A-Y-Y-C-R-O, and Twitch on twitch.tv/itstaycro. I don't know what I'm doing on Twitch right now. I've been sort of all over the place, but I did find a video game that is from 2004 that I really want to play. It's literally a vampire game. It's Vampire the Masquerade, the video game. And I'm obsessed with Vampire the Masquerade right now. Yeah. And I really want to play that. So I'm probably going to be doing that soon. So yeah, check me out on Twitch. Pending I don't have a surgery coming up, I'll be doing that on Twitch very, very soon.
You can find me everywhere at Sudsley.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's always... It's always funny when I just like say a bunch of stuff and you're like, and I'm Sudsley. And that's it.
Well, it's funny because like at this point in time, I don't have my Twitch back.
Yeah.
I mean, I exist, but not using it because right. I would like to have my computer. And then I'm like, I don't know. I post kind of frequently wherever. If you want, I'm getting back into Pokemon Go. If you like that, follow me on Twitter because that's I'm just sharing fun things from that.
Phenomenal.
I like do a lot online, but at the same time, like I don't know yeah, what to do.
It's weird. That's fine. All right, well, hey, thank you for listening to this episode. Go hug your friends and family.
Give them a real hug,
one that says you care about them and you want them to know that. And until next time.
Your day,
your Sid,
just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Goodbye, fam.
Goodbye, fam.
The Scavengers Network.
Creator-driven, community-focused, treasured content.